have a Bible with you tonight, you can turn in it to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1, I'm just going to read a few verses, and then we'll just talk about these verses for just a little bit. So Matthew chapter 1, I'm just going to read from verse 20 through 23. These are words that many of you are familiar with. It says, "But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins.' All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, 'The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel,' which means God with us." Just take a moment to pray before we look at this together. Our Father, we would ask that by your Spirit you'll help us to understand your word, and that through your word you'll draw us closer to yourself. Pray that you will allow us to see a little bit more the greatness and the goodness and the glory of your Son, Jesus. For we ask it in his name. Amen. Now, I'm sure you're probably aware of this, but if you do not yet have your Christmas presents purchased, you're running out of time. Okay? So you need to make sure that you get that done and that you're all set for tomorrow. And probably, as most people can attest, usually the last-minute gifts aren't always the best. You know, sometimes a little bit of pre-thought, a little bit of planning can go a long way. And the reality is something just that basic, just that simple, is one of the things that we find at the first Christmas, which is the gift of the Son of God to the world. And if you want to understand the gift of the Son of God, you can't start on the first Christmas, whether it was a midnight clear or not. You have to move back to where, you know, God actually began to plan to give his Son into the world. And it was not with the announcement to Mary and Joseph. It was not in the stable, the manger. It was in eternity past. In fact, one of the things that we find in God's revelation is that this plan to give Jesus Christ into the world was the reason why he made the world in the first place. And so the world, in a sense, is like a box and wrapping paper to conceal the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the point and purpose of everything. So this, all of this created world is in many ways like the box that the real present is in. The real treasure in the world is Jesus Christ. And so God creates this world as a home, as a place to send his Son. And he reveals all through the Old Testament that he's going to send someone very special into the world who will be both Lord and Savior of his people. Now, something that I think is actually really important to understand is that all through human history, people have had an understanding that there is something sort of fundamentally wrong in the world. And we here in Canada today probably don't have that much of a difficulty with understanding that there are certain things in the world that are fundamentally broken. Things are not the way that they ought to be. Things are not ideal. And this isn't something new. I mean, all through history, people have understood that there is something fundamentally off with the world. Things are not as they ought to be. And things aren't right in nations and in cities. Things often aren't right in families. Things aren't right with people individually. And all you need is a little bit of introspection. You just need to look inside to know that often things aren't perfect inside of ourselves either. And just like today, all kinds of different strategies are used to fix everything. And people keep thinking, well, if we just have a, you know, just a better economy, or if we just can get the right people in power, although the more we try to elect governments, the more frustrating and hopeless that may seem in terms of a strategy to bring about utopia. You know, we've tried everything, and it seems like things simply will never be fixed. And that's actually part of the human experience and reality, is that things are never going to be perfect in this world. But what the Lord does, what God does, is he sees a world that's broken and people who are hurting, and rather than expecting them to fix everything themselves or to elect a government that will take care of all of their lives and problems for them, God sends his son into the world to be a savior, to be a redeemer. And this name given, Jesus, literally means the Lord saves. So salvation is something which is required because things are broken and things are not the way that they ought to be. We, all of us together or us individually, are never going to be able to fix things on our own. We are never going to be able to do enough to save ourselves from the predicaments that we're in. And so God sends his son and says his name will be called Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. And that, of course, just raises the question, well, what are sins? You know, what does it mean to sin? What does the word mean? What's the category? And very simply, I mean, there's actually a whole variety of words that are used in Scripture to describe what sin looks like. But the fundamental meaning, the most common meaning in the Bible for sin is it means to miss the mark. Just to miss the mark. And this is not something which God sort of punishes people for doing their very best and just being imperfect. Rather, the language refers to someone. I'm not sure how many of you have ever been to camp, or how many of you have ever sort of seen kids trying to learn archery. God does not punish people for doing their best and missing. So he doesn't say, oh, well, you don't hit the bullseye every time, and so I'm going to be angry about that. Rather, in Scripture, the idea is that God shows us the target, he shows us what we ought to aim for, and we intentionally turn around and shoot in the opposite direction. And so when we miss the mark, it's not like, oh, I just made a mistake, or, oh, I really tried my best, it's just the standards were too high. It's that we see what God wants us to do, and we ignore it, and in fact intentionally do the opposite. Now, it should be, again, for us today, relatively obvious that people miss the mark all the time. It's not hard to say that, it's not hard to say that every once in a while the government seems to miss the mark. Right? This is not hard to identify. But at a more profound level, missing the mark personally involves things that, frankly, we would be ashamed if other people knew. So that if we were to take this last year, and we were to say, you know, we have your worst moments recorded, and we're just gonna play them there. When it came your turn for the worst moments of your life to be displayed, how many would want to stay and watch that? Worse yet, if thoughts could be extracted, or motivation, or internal things that don't come out. And the reality is there's a lot of guilt, and a lot of shame, and a lot of brokenness. And one of the incredible things about Christmas is that God does not say, if you've made a mess of your life in any way, you sort it out. He says, come with all of your brokenness. Come with your year filled with mistakes, come with your lifetime filled with mistakes and missing the mark, and I will save you. I will forgive you. I will take care of the problems that you yourself have created. Everything inside that is wrong, which manifests itself in every external act that is wrong, I have provided a Savior for you. The Lord saves. You will name him Jesus because the Lord saves his people from their sins. And part of this just requires acknowledging that we've all missed the mark in a variety of ways. And I can tell you this, and I don't know, you know, everything about your lives, obviously. I mean, most of them. I'm a pretty good spy, you know, but I don't know absolutely everything about your life. But I don't know, I don't need to know every single thing about you to know for sure that in this room there are absolutely none of us who have not missed the mark. None of us. There is no one in this room who needs the Savior more than anyone else. We all need the Savior. We all equally need Jesus. Jesus is God's solution to the brokenness and guilt of the world. So not only does Jesus save us from our sins, but notice he's given another name. They will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Because missing the mark, sinning against God, has created a problem in our relationship with him. It's created a difficulty. And because we don't want to know God, you know, we're estranged from God. Sin creates a barrier between us and God. But Jesus takes care of our sin. He provides forgiveness. He provides cleansing and atonement for our sin so that then we can experience a restored relationship with God and we can have God in a relationship that's marked by love and intimacy and connection rather than by this sin which keeps us apart. So what we find is God has a plan to bring about a lasting peace because he fixes things. He saves us. He saves his people from his sins so that the plan of God for healing in our lives comes through Jesus. You will call him Jesus because he will save his people from their sins, and you will call him Emmanuel. That is, he is God with us, and he is God with us because he saves us from our sins so that God can be present with us. And this isn't all that there is. I mean, in Scripture then, the end time vision, that is, the vision of what God is accomplishing in this world, is depicted in a variety of ways. But one of the ways that it's depicted is as a great feast where all of God's saved people are together in a new environment, in a new heaven and new earth. And there are people assembled from all over the world who have been saved by God's plan through Jesus. And one of the things that I think it's actually very interesting is that the end time vision of what God is doing through Jesus, what he's accomplishing in this world through Jesus, is actually a vision. It's now more than 2,000 years old. And it is a vision which actually ticks off the boxes of every major problem that we have in Canadian society tonight. So, I don't say this to be silly, although I'm slightly facetious in this one, I suppose. The vision in the end is not a vision of people social distanced from each other. There is health and healing in every way. There is nothing to worry about. There are no restrictions. Every single person who belongs to the family of God is gathered together. But far more importantly, if you were to look at some of the most inflammatory issues in our world today, they include things like racial strife and tension. And yet the end time vision in Scripture has always been people from every tribe and tongue and nation and language all over the world gathered together. Every race, every nation, every ethnicity represented as part of the same family. Think about all the concern there is with sort of ecological issues and environmental issues. God creates a brand new heaven and earth, a home for righteousness, a home for people to live together. And you look at this, and you see here is a place where everyone is together. There's a beautiful, pristine, new environment created. You know, every vestige of discrimination and prejudice and racism is excluded forever. And there's one human family because Jesus Christ has transformed hearts and removed all of those things that cause us to continually miss the mark. In other words, the reason it's heaven is because that's where God is, and Jesus has removed sin from us so that we not only are forgiven for missing the mark, but we don't miss the mark again. And because of that, there can actually be harmony. There can actually be peace. And there is absolutely no one in this end time vision who is there because they are good enough to make it on their own and never miss the mark in this life. In fact, the glory of the gospel, the glory of the good news, is that heaven is filled with people, and in fact, only people, who miss the mark in this life, but who came to God for forgiveness through Jesus. There's no one who has missed the mark so badly or for so long that they can't be saved by Jesus. His name is I am the one who forgives people for missing the mark. I am the one who forgives people for their sins. And through me, and I'll add through Jesus alone, do we find the presence of God. It is through him that God is with us. Christmas shows us how beautiful a gift can be. That God gives us his son. But as you know, later on in the life of Jesus, he grows up and he's despised and he's rejected. And Good Friday, we remember that this gift was rejected by people, and this baby who was born in the manger grew up to be put on a cross and to die. But then 3 days later, on Easter Sunday, we have the victory in the resurrection of Jesus. And so he is born as a gift, but he is rejected. And there was never a greater example of missing the mark and getting it wrong than rejecting the gift of Jesus and putting him to death. But it was through that death that God brought forgiveness and the removal of sin. An ultimate victory through the resurrection of Jesus. And so now we wait. Because as much as God gave us this gift on Christmas morning, the promise is, having defeated death in the resurrection, Jesus Christ is going to return one day. And when he returns, we're going to have that fulfillment of that consummated vision where all of God's people will be together and there won't be any sin anymore. Now, we're going to sing a song, and I just want to make sure that I have the right one that you're going to sing. Not for any particular reason. Sometimes there's last-minute changes. And so I just want to make sure. The song that we're singing to close is It Came Upon a Midnight Clear. Is that correct? No. Joy Has Dawned. Yes, this is the song that we're going to sing. Okay, good. Because I want to make a comment about it. The reality is this. On Christmas Day, the first Christmas, when Jesus is born, the one who saves us from missing the mark, there is a very real sense in that at the birth of Jesus, what you have is you have joy and love and hope coming into the world. But then you can also experience joy and hope and love in your life today, in this world, when you know Jesus. But the more we look back at Christmas and thank God for his gift, the more we look forward to the return of Jesus to bring everything together the way it ought to be. And so we sing, joy has dawned, and it has. And yet, because of that joy, because of that experience of love, we long for more and more and more of it. And one day we'll sing in a new way that joy has dawned and love has returned when Jesus Christ comes back. And so we long for that. We long for the dawning of the day of joy and love. We pray for that. And for those who have experienced the joy of knowing Jesus, I know that you just want more and more of that experience. For those of you who love Jesus, you just long for more and more of that experience. And when the Lord returns, we're going to have it in fullness and forever. And so we pray, Lord, let the day dawn. Give us the dawning of our days. We've already experienced love and joy. We want to experience more and more and more. And the greatness of love and the greatness of joy will be given to us finally and forever in a consummated way when the Lord Jesus Christ returns. Just before we sing this song, I just want to tell you that although there is never a time, as long as you're conscious and aware, there's never a time when you can't come to God through Jesus. I would tell you now that if you have any sense of the reality of missing the mark in your own life, this is the perfect time just to receive the gift of forgiveness that comes through Jesus. It really is. No pretending that we have it all together, because we don't. No pretending that we don't have things that we need to be forgiven for, because we do. Not to think that we'll ever make ourselves right enough to stand before God, because we won't. But the reason Jesus comes to forgive us, to save us from missing the mark, is because he knows we have. There's nothing to hide with him. He already knows. And so to come to him, Lord, I've made a mess of things. I've missed the mark. Lord, I have. You know it. Everyone else knows it too. Jesus, I need a savior from my sins. The good news is that's what his name means. That's who he is. He is the gift of God to forgive you for all of your sins. Not one left behind. Not one too great. Total, pure forgiveness, because he is the savior of our sins. His name is Jesus, and that's what it means. So when you know Jesus, joy has dawned. So Father, we pray that you will help us to know your son Jesus in a saving way. Help us understand who he is. Lord, help us to experience your presence, our God with us through Jesus. Lord, be with us as we go. I pray that you will bless us in every way, and may we rejoice with the dawning of joy and love. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Go in grace and peace.